Would you please welcome Pastor Trent?
Thank you, Roy. Good morning. Beautiful day, I'll tell you what. I'm a sucker for Southern California weather. It's just beautiful. You know, it's days like this, I'm like, we need an amphitheater, or we need to do church in the courtyard or something, because it's just gorgeous out. God is awesome. His word is amazing. You know, during worship, obviously I know what the message is going to be, so I have that privilege. But I was just praying, just thinking about God's word. I love God's word so much. It is such a light to us. And I was reminded of this verse. We will be in Ephesians 5, but I was reminded of the road to Emmaus. Easter Sunday morning, afternoon, the guys are two disciples on their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and Jesus shows up and gives the most phenomenal Bible study ever preached. What it would have been like to be there. But in Luke, and you don't need to turn there, I'm just going to read it to you. Luke 24, verse 25 says, Jesus says to him, "O foolish one, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to entered into glory?" And it says in verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Wow. With that Bible study, Jesus, they're just starting in the Old Testament and just surveying his way through. And then it says, and we're going to be talking about light this morning as children of light, walking in the light, what light does, it illuminates. And I was thinking on this, in verse 31 it says, "And their eyes were open." This was after they had sat down, they were breaking bread together with Jesus. And they didn't know it was him. And then they realized, it says, "Their eyes were opened, and they knew him." And it says, "And he vanished from their sights, and they said to one another," they said, "did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?" You know, and God's word is so, so beautiful. And that's what God wants to do this morning. He wants to open the scriptures to us. I just think, they said, did our hearts not, there was something going on when that guy that we realized now was Jesus was speaking to us. Did our hearts not just burn for God? Just burn within us. Just long for that which he was speaking of. And that's my prayer for us today. So Ephesians chapter 5 is where we are. And I pray our hearts will burn in a very biblical way this morning for more of him. Well, we pick it up in chapter 5 and verse 8. We're in part 6 of our study, Walking in Purity. We've been talking about walking with the Lord. What better topic is there? Walking with the Lord. Good friend of mine, pastor over at Calvary Chapel Westgrove. He's the missions pastor and men's ministry pastor. We do a lot of work in missions together, and I traveled with him last year. And I have this saying, if you're around me, you know, and that is just, you know, in life and stuff, you know, this is my answer to the problems of life. Walk with God. You just got to walk with God. So I said that to him when we were on our trip, I think a few times. I say it as much as I do. And, you know, so we're preparing to do, I'm going to be doing the men's retreat for their church in a couple weeks. And, you know, he's been repeating it, you know, like you say, just walk with God. You know, and that's what Paul's saying. He's just saying, walk with God. And it's such a simple thing. It's such a pleasant thing. It's something we make so difficult. It's something that obviously our flesh doesn't want to do, and sin. And so here we are talking about walking in purity. And I just want to say this morning, what we want to look at is just what it means to walk with God. That might be a foreign thought to us, a complex thought, well, I want to walk with God, but how do I, and we just start, you know, confusing the matter. And I love what Abraham, and by the way, guys, we had an amazing prayer meeting Friday night. And we're committed to do some more of those because it was just rich. Oh, I was just so blessed. So if you didn't come, no, you missed out. Okay? Feel it right now. You missed out. Let it hurt for a second. I missed something special. Okay. And now if you did, long for when it's to come again, because it was a time that we were able to sit with the Lord and just walk with God. And the Lord was stirring my heart for the men's retreat, and I'm going to be teaching on Abraham, and it reminded me of a verse that I love so much in Genesis 17, verse 1 there, where God appears to Abraham. Now, Abraham's name is still Abram, which means, you know, good, excellent father, and God appears to him, and in that chapter, in chapter 17, he's going to change his name to Abraham. And he's going to give him a promise, and he's going to make a covenant with Abraham about him and God, about relationship. It's an amazing covenant. And it's the father building a relationship with his son, Abraham. But he says this to him. He says, I am all, he appears to Abraham. It says Abraham has a vision of God. He sees God. He says, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. That just speaks to me. He just, here is God. I'm Almighty God. This is what I want you to do, Abraham. I want you to go out and reach the world. I want you to build a kingdom. He doesn't say that. You know, all the grand things, the great things, what are we going to do for God? And God says, walk before me. That's what I want you to do. And be blameless. You know, the message hasn't changed. It's the message we have this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. God just wants us to walk with Him. And that's what Paul's been talking about. We saw the word walk in chapter 4, verse 1, and that really is the key here. It's to walk worthy. And we saw the word worthy. It means equal, up to the calling by which we've been called. To walk in the new covenant. To walk in the Spirit. To walk as a Christian on this earth today, that's what God's called us to do. And then he says, using that same word walk in verse 17, he says that we're not to walk like the rest of the Gentiles. And that's why our series this morning is called Walking in Purity. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, verse 2, he says, and walk in love. So these ways that we're to walk based on, we're to walk equal to the calling on our lives. We're to walk as a Christian, I would define it. And a Christian walks this way, Paul would say. He doesn't walk like the world does, verse 17, chapter 4. But he does walk, chapter 5, verse 2, like the Father, like His Son. And how is that? It's the walk of love. And verse 1 of chapter 5 is very important, that we are to be followers of God. Obviously, we're walking with God. We're walking with God. As we do that, we're following God. You think about walking down a path with someone, you're following God. And he says, and as a follower, or the word might be in your Bible, in chapter 5, verse 1, as an imitator of God, we are to walk in love. So I'm going to imitate God. I'm going to reflect God. I'm going to walk with God. Then I'm going to be one if I'm walking with God. If I'm walking as a Christian walks, I'm going to be walking in the love of God. And then in verse 8, where we are this morning, he says, and let's just read it. We're going to go through verse 14. For we were once darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of light, is in all godliness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather exposing them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And verse 15 goes on to talk about another kind of walk, and we'll look at that next week. That is the walk that is circumspect of, or the walk that is careful. So this morning our topic is to walk in the light. To walk in the light. You know, and what is interesting, I do think Paul here is following the theme that he started with in chapter 5, to be an imitator of God. Two ways you can imitate God, and that we're called to imitate God in this walk as a Christian, and that is to walk in love. Now, John tells us, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 16 of 1 John 4, both tell us that God isn't just one that possesses love, but God is love. Of God's very nature and essence, He is love. He is the definition of love. And so we are to follow God, verse 2 of chapter 5 here. We are to walk in love as Christ is love. And it's interesting because 1 John also tells us not only that God is love, but that God is light. The Bible doesn't say a lot of things that, in a sense, that God is, but God is love and God is light. And then Paul here is telling us in verse 8 that not only are we to walk in love because our God is love, and if we're going to imitate God, we're going to have to walk in His love, and also we're going to walk in light. Now, interesting, light. We could go many different directions with light this morning. The Bible talks so much about light. I mean, there's so many illustrations of light. Two main areas that I would say that the Bible really defines light as, in two main spheres, if you would, that is intellectually and morally. Light is often in the Scriptures. And we don't have time this morning. We'd never get to our text if we went over all the Scriptures about light. Obviously, God is light. Well, what does that mean? Light speaks of illumination, revelation. Light speaks of truth, and we find that in the Word. We find that the Gospel, the Word of God, is called a light. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that the God of this age has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ that is to shine upon them. So the idea of that, it has to do with the mind. It talks about having, even in chapter 4 here, our understanding darkened. And what do we need? We need the light of the gospel. So truth. Truth is light. Revelation. If you're walking in the light, you're walking in truth. You're understanding God. Even the men on the road to Emmaus, what did they say there? As He opened the Scriptures to us, their minds were open. They recognized that this is Jesus, and wow, and so it speaks of that idea of illumination intellectually, mentally. It also speaks of a moral rightness, a moral clarity. And there's nothing like light. I mean, I like light. I don't like darkness. Like when I'm working, I like a lot of light. I think I'm a little over the top. According to my wife, I am. I mean, you know, ladies, you know how it is. You know, after a long day, and you know, in my house, there's four little kids, and it's pretty busy, and always a lot of dishes and stuff, and you know, maybe it's a late meeting I come home from or something, and I walk in, and I think everyone's in bed. My wife's in the kitchen doing dishes in the dark. She's got like a candle on. Now, like, I remember this from my mom. Like, what is it? Turn on the light. Now, when I did our kitchen, I put in recessed lighting, and a lot of them. So when you turn the lights on, it's bright. But you know, she's like, honey, I want to relax. And you know, as my hand is just like, we need a light. Okay, because for the love of my wife, I won't turn the light on. But don't ask me to do the dishes under candlelight. I like to see what I'm doing. I like to know what's going on. You know, you ever tried to work on a car With bad lighting. It's horrible. I mean, give me light. I like spotlights and lights. Because light does what? It shows me what's going on. It's clear. Now, I've done a lot of work at night. I work around the house and I usually get in a project and, I blow like some, main line and we're in trouble. Now the water's shut off, so I'm out there all night, but I got to have lights because it's clarity. And you think about this. I want us to think about this because walking with God is walking in a place where you know where you're going. People act like walking with God is like walking off the stage and not knowing. And my eyes are shut. I'm just going to fall. We call it a leap of faith. Well, let me just say this. As I leap out in faith, I know where I'm going. My faith is in the God who dwells, Paul tells me in Timothy, in unapproachable light, where there is no shadows of turning. There's no ambiguity about the Lord. He is clear. Now, there's sometimes that I can't see everything. In fact, it's unapproachable light. It's so bright, I can't handle it. But I want to just tell you, walking with God is a beautiful, beautiful thing because I know that He is right. And I know what's going on because I'm in the light. Listen, heaven will have no sun because He is the light. It speaks of not just mental understanding, it speaks of moral holiness. The holiness of God that brings everything to clarity. It reveals all of the darkness. Light is more powerful than darkness, obviously. As soon as you turn on light, darkness flees. Light overtakes darkness. And light, all it does, there I am, working, and I need a light. To do what? To reveal what the darkness has concealed. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't, when I've got my main line broken and I need a light, it doesn't fix the line. It just shows me I can work around it. That's what God does. God comes on the scene. The Bible starts out with this idea of, light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and without void. And God said, the first thing God ever said, let there be light. Amen. I always quote that when my wife is in the dark. Thank God morally she's not. But turn with me to John's Gospel, John chapter 3. We all know the passage, John 3:16. And John has a lot about light. And again, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 talks about God being light, and that if we walk with God, we must walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another. But John 3, in verse 16, it says this. I want to read, and I just want us to hear the word this morning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why men are condemned. In verse 19, and this is the condemnation. Here it is, that the light has come into the world. That is Jesus. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. And here's why. Lest their deeds should be exposed. Note that word, exposed. Light exposes evil. He says, verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds might be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Paul's talking to us about being a Christian, about walking with God. And if you and I are going to walk with God, the first place we're going to find ourselves walking is in the light. In the light, things are clear. In the light, there's nothing hidden. There's no hide, there's no, as we might say, secret sins as we walk with God. Now, remember this, that We walk with God in front of each other, with each other. That's important. We've discussed the idea of the body of Christ. But ultimately, we walk with God, with God. We walk before God. We walk not before man, but before God. See, you can hide things from me, I can hide things from you, but we, and I hope you know this, there's nothing hidden from His sight. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful. Now, the Word of God, again, is the light that God brings, the truth. The Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. He talks about how it can divide between soul and spirit, joint and marrow, these things that are very difficult to divide both in the spiritual and the medical world. And he says, and it's the discerner or the judge of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And then in verse 13 there, he says, for all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. There's nothing hidden from his sight. And if I walk with God, then I'm going to do what God told Abraham, walk with me and be blameless. I'm going to seek to walk a life that is with God in the light. And in the light, there's nothing hidden. And you, there's nothing like walking in purity. It is the most beautiful, peaceful place to be. The walking in the holiness of God is sweet to the soul of the one that's there. Sweet. And when you're not, it's horrible. Especially when you know of it and you understand it and you're saved and then you start walking in darkness. It just, you know how it feels. It just feels yucky. I don't know how else to explain it. Just, dirty, dark. Walking, just, you can wake up in the morning and just know, I'm right with God. And though we fall, and though we falter, and though we sin, we get right back up, we repent, we're back in the light. We don't hide it and hold it in. And see, we can't deceive the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. Today, if you're in the darkness, today, if you're in sin, there's stuff going on in your life. I want to exhort you and encourage you that God is saying to, and we'll see this, the last verse, awake, you asleep, rise, and Christ will give you light. God wants to bring us into the light. That's where God can deal with us. This is where God has to deal with us. It just everything open. Just me and God, you know, it's just Him and I. Now, thank God that He doesn't edit a video of your life and show it to us this morning. Thank God that though it's clear to Him, it might not be clear to everyone else. And thank God that love is to cover a multitude of sin. So I'm not saying we're sinless. In John, in 1 John, when he says we're to walk in the light as He is in the light, he goes on to say, and if someone says he has no sin, he's a liar. And the truth's not in him. And then he says, but confess your sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So it's not about perfection. Yes, God is perfect. We're to walk in with Him. And as we do, we're going to be, perfection's going to be revealed. And we're to ultimately to reflect His light. To reflect His holiness to the world. That's Paul's point. Back to Ephesians, or we'll never get through anything. Goodness, we need to move on. You know how excited I get about the truths of God's Word. But this is the beauty. Okay, let me put it this way. It's the difference between the sun and the moon. Christ is the sun, obviously. God, if you would, is the sun. That's the origination of light. There is no light outside of Him. And when we speak of light, we're going to speak of moral holiness. We're going to speak of truth, rightness, clarity, no hidden agenda, pure motives, all that stuff. Okay, and you and I are the moon. You know, the moon by itself has no ability to shine unless it is simply reflecting. Now, I love the moon. I think it's an amazing thing. Every time there's a full moon, I kind of just stop and gaze. Wow. And that's reflecting the light of the sun. And that's what we're to be. And remember this. When there is an eclipse, it is when the world gets between the moon and the sun, right? When the world, and it blocks out the moon's reflection of the light of the sun. And I think there is a beautiful analogy there. When the world gets between you and Christ, when the world gets between the church and the Lord, it's the church is eclipsed. It's blackened. And so all I need to do is be in line with the sun rays. When I'm in line with the sun rays, I'm going to light up like the full moon. And that's what Paul's saying the church is to be. If I'm walking with God, you're walking with God, we're to shine. What did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount. Let your light so shine among men that they'd see your good works and they would glorify your Father in heaven. Notice it says, and they glorify your Father in heaven. It didn't say, and they look at you and go, wow. Just like when I look at the moon, I go, wow, the sun is amazing. Powerful. Powerful. We're to shine. Jesus says, you are the light of the earth. The light of the world. The salt of the earth. You are the light. Don't, you know, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And we're to shine bright in this world. Now, you know what's awesome is that holiness is stronger than wickedness. Light is more powerful than darkness. The kingdom of Christ is called the kingdom of light. The kingdom of the devil and his forces is called the kingdom of darkness. And light prevails against darkness. And I praise God for that. And in your life, the light of God will prevail against the darkness of this world and the enemy. Don't you ever forget that, because Satan wants to tell you that's not true. But listen, and you don't need to focus on darkness, and you don't need to focus on Satan, and you don't even necessarily need to so much focus on all the sin that's crouching at your door. You need to focus on the light, because the light will drive away the darkness. When I turn that light on, darkness is gone, light's here. And that's what we need. We need to be so aligned with Him, focused on Him. And as we do, we're going to imitate Him, we're going to reflect who He is. So Paul says, let's get into it, verse 8. Let's start at verse 7. It says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, the context is the church. That's who he's talking to. It's a church. So keep that in mind. And it's interesting because you could translate it from the Greek here. Therefore, verse 7, stop being partakers. The structure is stop being. It's as you already are partaking in the world. Stop it. That's what he's saying. Now remember the context, verse 3. He's talking about fornication. Because you know what he does in the first 7 verses here? He shows true love, biblical love, and false love. Love of God, the love of the world. Love of the world is in verse 3. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Notice his concern is it's being named among them. It's amongst them. Got to get it out. That's what Christianity, that's what it means to walk worthy of the call by which we've been called. It's got to come out. He also says in verse 4, filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. So just words that are unbefitting a Christian. He says again, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. These things got to be taken out. Ultimately, if you practice and live in these things, Paul then will say in verses 5 and 6, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's got to be purged out. So he's educating the church of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to walk with God. There are many people today that think they can walk with God, live in sin, and everything's okay. Well, that's wrong. And it's sad today that there are many churches that aren't a bright light. And they're like, well, we need to dim the light, actually. You know, put a dimmer switch and put it like, you know, halfway. I mean, there are churches that, and it's not just churches. Listen, there is teaching in our schools, in our Christian schools, that we're educating our pastors, our up-and-coming leaders. Dim the light so we can reach the multitudes. I just have to say, that isn't found in the Bible. In fact, that is heresy. The Bible says, brighten the light. Let it shine. It doesn't say, you know, you want to kind of put it under a bushel halfway. You know, no, that's not the song I learned when I was a little kid, you know. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Okay, I won't sing it for you, but you'd have a laugh if I did. That's sad. And we're going to see that God's word is very clear here. So be warned, be careful, because there is great deception out there. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And again, the word here, once darkness. It doesn't say you were once in darkness. If you read any commentary here or Greek study on this, they will always point out that here it's not you were once in darkness, but you were darkness itself. And you could translate it, and you were once darkness yourself, but now you're light itself. You were once in the world, and now you're in Christ. Let me put it this way. You once were unsaved, unregenerate, and now you're born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You went from being darkness to becoming light. You went from wicked living and a wicked heart to an illuminated heart. And let me just say quickly, we're not talking about the rebuilding of a person. We're talking about the recreating of a person. And there's a big difference. I rebuilt my house. I bought a house that had a cracked foundation. I mean, the place was destroyed. All the walls were cracked. I mean, it was just bad. And I just rebuilt the whole thing. We'd call it a good remodel. But you know, that's not what God did with me. He got a house that was way worse than mine when He bought me. He just took a bulldozer and just destroyed the old. And He created the new. There's a difference between a remodel and a brand new home. We're brand new in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Thank God. And you feel like, oh, I can't get rid of this old stuff. Trust me, God can. And He will. But you got to walk in the light. And so He says, walk as children of light. So reflect the Father. The idea child there speaks of birth. The very word child, born one, is literal. Verse 9, for the fruit or the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of light, and most translations will say light here, is in all goodness. So here's the definition of this light that He's talking about. It's goodness, righteousness, and truth. Again, you see the moral and the intellectual, the truth of God and the holiness of God. He says, this is what we're to do. If we're to walk in light, bear the fruit of this light, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 10, we're to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. So as I walk with God, it's not about talking about God, it's about allowing God to live through me. And as I walk with God, what happens? As I walk with God, I'm going to, this is what God's called me to do. If I'm an imitator of God, if I'm walking as a child of light, I'm going to prove, I like this, I'm going to prove, I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to prove to you what is the good, or here, what is what is acceptable to the Lord? What's right and wrong, based on God? You know, a lot of times we will define, we'll go to the nth degree to define what's right and wrong, and that's important. Obviously, we won't know how to walk if we don't know where we're walking. And God goes to an nth degree to define what's right and wrong. But check this out. Here we're getting into that point in our walk that God is saying, now your life is to be an evidence of mine. And you're to prove what is acceptable to the Lord by your light that's shining through your life, by me at working in you. This is powerful. I think we spend way too much time as a church trying to figure out what the will of God is instead of just walking in it. You go, well, if I knew what it was, I'd walk in it. Now, and let me be sensitive here, because I know that there are, and there have been certainly for me, decisions in life, God, what's your heart? I need to know what you want me to do here. Decision I got to make. And so, I understand that. And that's true. And those things we have to grapple over. But I think we spend sometimes too much time grappling over them instead of doing what the Word says. Now, Romans chapter 12, and I won't have you turn there because we're just kind of out of time here. Because I got a lot to go, and you guys don't have all day, do you? Because I got... No. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says this, therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a holy sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is our reasonable act of service or spiritual worship. Now, that's just an exciting verse. Because, you know, I love the word reasonable. I'm the kind of person that I like to be reasonable. You know, let's reason about it. Let's bring this down, you know, five notches here, if you would, and let's just think through this logically. This is what God's saying. And you got to understand Romans 1 through 11. And I know some of you have a grasp of that, so you know where it's going. Basically, it's salvation and the beauty of it and the glory of salvation. And he's saying, okay, now based on that, let me reason with you here. To present your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord, it's holy, this is holy, this is, the word holy means really set apart, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of service. And he's saying this, and I love this, because sometimes I think, how can I say thank you to the Lord for all that he's done? You know, and there's two sides. Some people think, well, look at all the things I'm doing for God. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. And what this is what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, when you present your body as a living sacrifice, now a living sacrifice is pretty much a radical sacrifice. I mean, your whole body, all, every part of you, when you give it to God, he says, that's just logical. The word reasonable could be translated rational. That's just your rational service to the Lord. It's not like someone needs to come pat you on the back and go, wow, you've done such a great job. It's like, well, in light of what he's done, what else would I do? What, I mean, well, this is just reasonable. And then he says this, verse 2, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now watch this, look for this word, prove, that we might prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. He doesn't say that you go figure it out and find it out. He says, when you walk with God, your life will prove what is the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. And that's my calling. That's your calling as a Christian, to live a life that manifests the will of God as we do what? Walk with God. Walk in the light. Because when I walk in the light, my life's going to manifest God. And I'm going to manifest the will of God. We spend more time finding out what the will of God is instead of just walking with God and realizing, hey, I'm in the will of God. Wow, this is cool. And when you're in the will of God and you have those decisions you need to make, trust me, when you're walking in the light, you're seeking the heart of God, you're in the Word of God, you're a part of the body of Christ, because that's all part of walking with God, you're gonna find out that the will of God isn't as hard as we make it out to be. God will lead you. God will direct you. Because when your motives are right, you're saying, Lord, I want to make the right decision because I want you to be glorified. That's walking with God. You're going to find out the will of God is going to become very natural for you to fall into, if you would. And it sounds might sound, you know, clumsy, and it's not that. It's that you just walk in it. You just walk with Him. He'll just take care of it. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. But it's to walk in the light. And so Paul here, he's talking about though our lives that are like that moon that are reflecting. And that we are proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Important for us to know that. I'm to prove what is right and wrong before God. And here he's not so much talking about are my words, but my life. As I walk as a child of light in the light, as I walk in, as he says there, as I walk in goodness, righteousness, and truth, my life is going to manifest the life of God. And I'm to prove what's this is right before God. God accepts this. God is pleased with this. And that's a heavy calling. That's what I'm to do in front of the world. But you know that I'm not only to do that in front of the world, I'm to do that in front of you, the church. Not just because I'm the pastor. This isn't written to pastors. We're all to do this to one another. Our life is to manifest rightness. And as someone looks into our lives, or what we stand for, or what we believe in, or what comes out of our mouths, that people go, well, that's acceptable to God because you're a Christian. Well, see, this is the problem that the church has had, in that the gospel and the witness of the gospel in the world has been damaged by Christians that aren't walking in the light, that aren't walking in integrity. And people have been very quick to point out to us, hey, you know, what's that? That's an inconsistency. And, you know, you guys are hypocrites and this, that, and the other thing. And we need to take this calling serious. Because my life is to manifest what's honorable, acceptable to the Lord. And it's a powerful thing. Now, we can't do that again without Him. Trust me. But But we're new creations in Him. We're to put off the old man and put on the new and to walk in holiness. And as we do, God's going to be using us. Now, this is why it is important to stand up for rightness. And, you know, because when I'm silent about issues that are wrong, I'm saying it's okay. I think that's important for us to understand. Even amongst ourselves. Well, I don't want to step on anyone's toes. Well, use some tact. Make sure you're walking in love. Be gracious. But you know what? In a humble way, you've got to speak about things that are wrong. We have to, church. Because when the church is silent, the church is saying God agrees with this. And when God doesn't agree with it, and we don't say nothing about it, we have just crossed the lines and we have mingled God's holiness with the world in a very, very bad way. And it is has great ramifications and damages a lot of people. Look what he says, verse 11. He goes on with the same idea. And have no fellowship. So this is what we're to not do. This is a clear commandment. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. So this is what he says in verses, really 10 through 13 there. Verse 11, he says, have no fellowship. That word fellowship is that word that speaks about becoming a partaker together with another. It speaks about it's having something in common, entering into something, partaking, fellowship. You know, it's important. The word might be, you know, translated partner. Not partnering with the world. Now, again, I want us to remind us that the context here is the church. The church with the church among the church. Obviously, as we go out in the world, we're to be a light. But first and foremost, we are to, as the church, we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. There's compromise in the church. And as you look into the church, you can find someone that's more compromised than you. You can justify why it's okay for you to do this or do that, or you know, and it's just heartbreaking. That's all it is. It breaks God's heart. It's heartbreaking because we're just diminishing the glory of God. And we're allowing the enemy to come into the church. You know, there's different Christians that have different philosophies. And you know, people would quickly point out, oh, don't be a legalist. Now, I would love to have a debate on what legalism is from the Bible. I don't have time. I mean, I'm just clearly running out of time here. There's a lot of things we could talk about because this is a big issue. But, you know, quickly, well, that's legalistic. Listen, what's the difference between legalism and walking in the light? Now, there's a big difference. Legalism is like the Pharisees, you know, it's just religious. It's got no heart behind it. It's just a list of rules you can do and you can't do. And we could go on and on with it. But there's also a thing called holiness. That's not legalistic. That's just right and wrong. What should be in my life as a Christian? That's a question I should ask. And when I ask the question, when I listen for the answer, I should listen to the Word of God. So what should be in my life? What does it mean to walk in the light? Well, it's to walk in the light as He is in the light. So what's in my life would be in His life. That would be God's. Wow. That kind of narrows things down in my world. And again, it's important for us to realize the impact of this, because I think this morning that there's been so much compromise in the body of Christ that we don't even know where to start sometimes. You know, like if I start talking about secular movies or secular music this morning, and I start talking about movies this morning, you know, there are a lot of people who are like, whoa, you know. Things we allow in our homes, things we let our kids do, darkness. I mean, like, some of these video games are just, I cannot believe, maybe I've been in the light too long. I have never, you know, popped back into the dark. But when I was a kid, you know, we played Pac-Man, Centipede, okay? You know, Asteroids. And I mean, like, I'm watching, you know, this, these video games, and you know, it's like rated, you know, adults, rated teen. I don't know all the ratings. My kids do, you know, and they know what they're not allowed to have, you know. But it's like there's cussing and just murder and just darkness. And we're like, well, that's okay. It's just a game. Really? Oh, that's okay. It's just a movie. It's just pretend. Really? And so that's cool. Like in heaven, we're going to have those. Because, right, walk in the light as he's in the light. Like, you know, this is going to be cool. I mean, this is going to be our entertainment in heaven. Hey, listen, I believe in, you know, entertainment. I believe in God has created man to be creative. You know, I believe God's created us to enjoy things. I love basketball. I confess it. I just love it. I got a problem. I like it too much. I do. You know, it's the playoffs. The Lakers are playing right now. Here I am. Okay, I'm dying to my flesh, you know. But listen, there's nothing wrong with liking a sport, but certainly there's things that God's created us for that can be wholesome and right. But there's other things that we got to draw the line. And we got to say, that's darkness. You know, and you know, we can get legal. Well, you know, those guys playing basketball, I mean, they're prideful. Yeah, they are. You know, but so you can't, you know, and you can get legalistic with things. And I'm not suggesting that, but what I'm suggesting is that we walk in the light. And there are things that you know, I see on TV and watching the news that bother me. They bother me because it's the light that's in me, the holiness that's surrounding me. It's bothered by the wickedness and darkness, and that's good. When you're not bothered anymore, there's a problem. We need to be careful. Personally, for me, I don't listen to secular music. Now, again, I'm not going to tell you can't listen to secular music, but I would just ask you to seek the Lord and ask why you would listen. Well, I love it. Well, yeah, I love secular music too. I mean, my flesh loves it. I got some old songs that, you know, I can start grooving. Hey, I used to listen to the Grateful Dead. It just starts flowing in me. I start moving, you know. Anyways, you don't want to see all that, but, you know, doesn't mean it's right. And well, it's innocent. Well, here's what I would suggest. I don't want to straddle the fence. Can I? How close can I get to the side of this stage before I fall? Well, I'm not falling yet. I'm okay. Like I want to get over here. I'm back here. You know, why get so close? Like, hey, maybe it's a gray area. Well, fine. Let the gray areas be gray. I'm gonna walk in the light. It's clear here. You know, like, I want to give my life to worship. And music was created by God. It wasn't created by the enemy. The enemy took it and twisted it all up. Created by God. And yet, it should do something to the soul. Why not be for the glory and majesty of Almighty God and just let my soul just start soaring? You know, and so it's like, well, I don't want to waste my time with those things. And we all have different convictions and we're all in different places. But I just challenge us, church, to just walk in the light as he is in the light. And to come close. Basically what Paul's saying here, he's saying, you know what? The things that are done in secret, the things that are in darkness, reprove them. Speak out against them. Say something. Church, we need to realize that God has called us to confront sin in the church. We need to do that. It's very important. Not as sin sniffers, as I'd say, you know, like some hound dog of sin. I smell sin in this corner, you know. And just in someone's life and picking on them. Oh, well, yeah, you know. Okay, that is legalism. That's not the Lord. That's not what Jesus did. But things that are clearly wrong. And I'll give you some homework because we just don't have time to look at the passages. But 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The whole chapter. It's 13 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. 1 Corinthians 5 is the man in sin, and Paul says, remove him, give him over to Satan. And Paul says what to do for the world and for the church, and there's a difference. Matthew 7, judge not lest you be judged. We all know that passage. Well, I don't want to judge. I want you to read it carefully. It says, if you know you've got a log in your eye, how can you take the speck out of your brother's eye? Amen. Notice it. It'll go on to say,
first remove the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Restoration. That's what that is. When I get something in my eye, I'm outside working, I get something in my eye, I need someone's help. I ask my wife to look into my eye. Do you see anything? You know, it hurts. Ah, you know, you're screaming. And you know, she comes along because she doesn't have anything in her eye. She can see it clearly and she can help me remove it for edification, for strength. Galatians chapter 6, another verse, write it down. Galatians 6, verse 1. If anyone is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore. That's the word you need to look for. Restore in the spirit of gentleness. Look in yourself, lest you also be tempted to come and to restore and to bring them back. And that's the heart. And this is what Paul says. Verse 14, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. This is a word to the church. Awake, you who sleep. Rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Some of us are sleeping. Some of us are sleeping in the area of what's right and wrong, and we're not really clear. Some of us might be dead in that area. Now, I don't think he's talking about before salvation in the sense of being dead in sin. That's not the context. That's not the reference. But notice the hope that's in the passage. Awake. You're dead? Get up. Because you can, because you're saved. And Christ will give you light. He's here. He's here to change us. He's not here to beat us down and go, man, you sinner. You've got those secret sins, those things done in secret. They're shameful even to speak of them. He says, confess them. And I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And love covers a multitude of sin. I'm not going to broadcast it. I'm not going to tell everyone about it. I'm just going to give you light. And when I give you light, darkness is going to flee. And there's going to be no secret shadows because the light's going to shine. And I'm just going to come in and restore and cleanse and make you new. That's His heart. If you're there this morning, that place, you need to be renewed. Don't leave this place without getting prayer this morning. Don't leave this place without you yourself just asking God to just bring His light and welcome it. Say, Lord, bring Your light. It's going to hurt. He's going to, you know, darkness is fun because it just hides what's there. And turn the light on and, whoa, there's a lot of dirt in here. But let Him come in. He's going to clean it and He's going to give you life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace. We thank You, God, for the work of Your Holy Spirit. And we ask that You would pour upon us this morning, Lord, the forgiveness that we need. And You would shine Your light, Father, into the very recesses of our hearts. We want that. We want You. We want to walk before God and be blameless. For some of us, that seems to be impossible. But what is impossible with man, we know is possible with You. And we know it's impossible with us. But we know it's very possible with You. So we give You our hearts today. We give You our lives. We thank You for the searchlight of Your word this morning. That it's brought truth again, clarity. Shine, Lord, on us and shine through us Your love to the church and to the world. For those of us, Lord, that need to confess and to get right, help us to do that. Help us that need help to reach out to the different groups, Lord, maybe men's group, a married couples group, a women's group, to get the help we need for the things that might be holding us back. Bless our men as they go on the retreat, Lord. Guide them this week as Satan will try to hinder them and trip them up, discourage them. Get them there, Lord, and move by Your Spirit and make the men in our church men that shine Your light. raise them up here, Lord, and use them in a mighty way. Pour out your Spirit, we pray. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.